Support for the Media Project comes from the College of St. Rose, Albany, New York, offering a new Bachelor of Science degree in public health with a focus on social, physical, and behavioral sciences. strose.edu. From Northeast Public Radio, this is the Media Project, a weekly discussion about issues confronting the media.
Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They know the lowdown, now it can be told. I'll tell you quite reliably off the record about some charming people I have known. For I meet politicians and grafters by the score, killers plain and fancy, it's really quite a bore. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They wallow in corruption, crime, and gore. Ting-a-ling-ling, city desk, pull the press, extra, extra, read all about it, it's a mess, meets the test. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. It's wonderful to represent the press.
The Media Project's underway, but of course it's going to take a while before we can get to the conversation because Rosemary has to finish tweeting.
I'm status on Facebook.
Oh, status on Facebook.
Different, completely different.
The contemporary journalist in any case.
Rock and Robin.
There we go. Dr. Alan Shartok is down here saying, What's this tweet? Rosemary Armeo, investigative journalist, professor at the University of Albany. I'm Rex Smith, editor of the Times Union. We're here to talk to you about journalism and the media issues of the week, and we'll do the best we can under the circumstances. Actually, it's been a great week for journalism in the sense that popular culture has recognized our most important product by the Oscar win for Spotlight. That kind of suggests what? What does that suggest?
It was a great movie. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you were hanging on the side of your chair anyway, and it was a great movie. It was great drama, and it made an important point, which is what I think you're getting to, which is that the proper role of journalism in America can really be profound.
And many journalists who saw the movie cheered the win, but felt very sad. It depicts events that happened in 2003, and in the decade plus since then, we have lost many great journalists, lots of newspapers and support of newspapers, and that kind of journalism is getting more rare.
Yeah,
I don't think there's any question that you're right about that, Rosemary, and that's the last time I'm going to say that during the show.
I loved it. I'm going to ask David for a tape of it.
Here's one of the things that is happening in journalism these days, and it has to do somewhat with the loss of some of the investigative reporting because there's so much more to do to try to reach the audience that's out there. Just as Rosemary, a few moments ago, was using her mobile device to update her status on Facebook, ESPN, which I should divulge, the company who owns my newspaper owns 20% of ESPN. So,
The Hearst Corporation owns 20% of ESPN.
Isn't that a wonderful thing?
Yeah.
It is a fact that ESPN has now decided that it's going to focus on mobile delivery, on those little devices that Rosemary's holding and on tablets. And the message from their digital director is, quote, "If we're thinking about anything else other than mobile, that is, we're failing the audience." That's amazing when you consider how much goes on television.
Well,
right?
I certainly believe it. Look, I mean, all that I do all day long is, and all night long, by the way, is to check the New York Times, and that's where I read it. The question, as we have discussed ad nauseum on the show, is how the newspapers can monetize that, because the advertisers will pay if they can see their ad in the paper and send it to their mother, but they won't pay the same price, the same premium, to get on to the mobile devices.
Well, and there's just so much mobile. It is, in the classic economic sense, it is unlimited inventory, and so supply exceeds demand, and therefore the price is lower.
Yeah, but is there an assumption on people like you and your fellow editors and publishers that sooner or later the online stuff will start to pay dividends?
Well, yes, it is paying dividends. I mean, the New York Times has a million digital subscribers, and we're doing very well now with it in terms of it coming up, but it's just not as much as it used to be.
I don't get some of this, and I just want to just interject this because it's very important to me. I went in and I ordered, you know, some briefs, some shorts for my underwear.
I see. Briefs. I thought you were talking about legal briefs.
You meant short stories in the article.
Brief. That's a term in journalism. This is going to be really good. I can't wait to hear where this goes.
Alan's underwear. We have this whole pile of stuff
we were hopeful
to talk about.
We thought we were going to talk about, you know, short stories. Tell us about
your underwear.
I'll just give you the old Danny Kaye line. A man bought a combination suit of underwear. He wore it 9 months without a single tear. He wore it 9 months without exaggeration, but when he tried to get it off. He forgot the combination. Okay. So anyway, now I am looking at the New York Times every day, and at least three or four times comes up an ad for underwear of the kind I bought.
Wow.
Now, in the same generic area. Is there a way they can get that stuff?
Of course there is. That's how they buy it, right?
And then they say, okay, Shark Talk has a subscription. We're going to just send this down the line to Shark Talk. Is that a little paranoid or what?
Well, yeah, it should be. I keep getting ads for meeting older men. So what are they reading on my social media that says that?
I don't think that happens, though, because you read a story in the New York Times about older men. I think that's because you must have done something else that activated some sort of demographic material.
No, it's because you went online looking for older men and they found out about it.
And Alan, I have all the older men I need right here.
You certainly do.
And by the way, I believe I might be younger, and so I think you know what she's saying, Alan.
Yes. She's looking at this decrepit 74-year-old.
One's enough, thank you very much, she says.
With a fisheye.
Anyway, well, you know, the fact is, more and more newspapers are adopting a paywall. Here's a study that that looked at 98 newspapers that found out that 77 out of the 98 now are requiring people to pay something for a digital subscription, and 71 of those 77 have launched in the last 5 years, meaning that like my newspaper, everything was free for the longest time as we got people accustomed to looking at
TGN.com. I remember when you can't say that to me because you can't even look me in the eye without your nose growing longer.
What's that?
I am telling you now that I remember you in the very beginning of this. You were, you were giving out free stuff, but you were holding back some important stories so that if you wanted it, you had to pay for it. Don't give me that look. I want you to know you were mentioning the Hearst Corporation, and I just saw, you know, Citizen Kane on the television this very morning, you know, as we speak. So I know all about you guys.
Oh, really? See, that's sort of the fictionalized account, you know.
Washington Post right now is in the process of doing that. Their material has been almost all free for years.
Really?
I've always used it. And now you call it, you can still get the front page, but you try to call up a story and you get a little, we have a great offer for you, and it's paying money.
But let me see if I get this straight. If we were to get the Berkshire Eagle, let's say, my paper, and we pay for it every day, many of these companies say if you pay for the physical paper, you also get online privileges.
Yes,
right?
We actually say it the other way around. If you buy a $4 a week digital subscription, we'll give you the Sunday paper for free. And
big deal. You're only the Sunday paper? What about if you get it 7 days a week?
Well,
Christmas.
You get everything. If you're a 7 day subscriber, you can have anything that we have. We'll give you. In fact,
Rex will come to your house.
Practically so. We loved 7 day subscribers. They're wonderful things. But the average weekly price of a digital subscription for a newspaper is $3 to $4.43 is what this study found.
A week
For digital only. And think about that. And digital is, of course, you know, it costs you nothing to add an additional digital subscriber. So that's the difference.
The study that you referred to had some information on that. It says that publishers are divided on whether to charge extra to add Sunday print delivery to this digital subscription. 37 newspapers out of like 80 charge more for that, 25 charge less, and 13 charge the same price.
Well, that's all very interesting, but I have a more mundane and immediate question, kids.
Kids, like talking to we young folks here, isn't it?
Well, you are. And you made that clear in the beginning of the show. Both of you did. Okay, so.
Okay, Gramps, go little, ahead.
So if Roselle and I order a newspaper online, or we order our local newspaper, and we get the deal that you've just laid out. You order the paper, you get the digital. Okay, is it possible that both of us get the digital edition or only one gets the digital edition? Do you understand
the issue? Usually the papers have a sharing option. You can bring in other family members. For example, my New York Times subscription, I only get the Sunday print edition, but I'm allowed to share my digital edition with my wife and daughter. But that varies by the company.
I'm always laying it out so that the stuff that our listeners really want to listen to, and that's a question that I think our listeners really might want to listen to. not some
comic?
obscure pie in the sky question, philosophical question.
Ah, but here's the interesting. We were talking about mobile, so we're increasingly delivering our stuff on mobile. This is really important. You know, whether you want the facsimile edition, you know, the e-edition is what looks. It is actually the newspaper delivered, and you see the page on your digital device. You can get that. Your hometown paper, the Berkshire Eagle, refers to it as noinkyfingers.com. That's how you order it there. That's a cute little
but
funny.
I can pretty well, you have to know how to negotiate it. And I was offered, frankly, because I'm a columnist, a long time ago, and I never took advantage of it, of the No Inky Fingers. But I can go online now and get pretty much the whole paper, but you have to know how to negotiate the system. You see what I mean?
Here's the interesting thing. Don't you see? Nearly three quarters of adults who own smartphones say that they get news and information frequently or very frequently from at least one traditional source, from newspapers or from television news. So what that means is that people are increasingly turning to their smartphones for information, but they're using them to go to the traditional news sources. And that's hopeful for those of us who work in the traditional media, that they're not only going to BuzzFeed or to Google News for their information.
Only if the traditional media can keep to give extra. You have to go to them and find more than you do online.
Right.
And increasingly, I'm finding it online.
And here at Public...
Online, what do you mean by online? You're finding it
digital.
Online.
I'm finding it on my computer. I can find as much on here as if I turn into, say, CNN.
Well, you can also put CNN on there.
I do have CNN on here. I'm a news junkie, of course, and so I have a whole section on just news media. But as the traditional media has been beaten down and downsized, it is harder for them to give me more than what I'm already getting this way.
It is harder to give more.
That's a cycle.
That is very hard to do. You're right, because giving more, which is what we're trying to do in order to get digital subscriptions, we try to promise people more if you pay us for digital. And that's really hard because, as Rosemary was saying at the very beginning, you know, you just don't have as many people as you used to. We need to do the investigative reporting,
Absolutely.
Our fundamental responsibility. But boy, it's hard to keep an investigations team if you need somebody to do digital presentation of the news and graphics.
The web updated graphics. Information.
And especially if you're the editor who has to go before the very formidable budget committee at Hearst and say, here's how much we intend to spend this year.
I thought you were going to say it's hard if the editor has to go before the microphones at WAMC and spend his time, you know, in these...
I thought he was going to say that, too.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Be grilled.
Yeah. Well,
like
I made
that.
You famous, and don't you ever forget it.
As Alan often says, nobody would know who I am if it weren't for,
being this,
WAMC.
Yeah.
That's right.
And that's true of you, too, young lady.
I knew you were going to say that, too. Yes, I owe you everything.
It's the Media Project from Northeast Public Radio. Dr. Alan Shartok, Ph.D., the head of Northeast Public Radio. Rosemary Armeo, a professor, investigative journalist, and I'm Rex Smith, editor of the Times Union. If you would like to share your thoughts, we're media@wamc.org. Media@wamc.org is how you can share your thoughts, and we'll probably use them on the air. You never can tell. It's an interesting thing. What do you think about that photographer who got shoved over by a Secret Service agent at the Trump rally? Was that a bad deal? I didn't realize that the Secret Service was supposed to, protect Donald Trump from photographers.
I think that the Secret Service needs some looking into. They have not had a great record in the last couple of years.
No.
As you know, maybe they should spend more time guarding the door to the White House than Donald Trump.
What with the carousing and the prostitutes and all that they've been
finding? Yeah, exactly. And so the rule is that they're supposed to only protect the candidate. This photographer, he was profane and did provoke the guy.
Yeah.
I admit that. However, he was simply going into an area that was filled with protesters when the Secret Servicemen tried to enforce a rule that Donald Trump's campaign has made, that reporters could not go into this area. And he was pushed to the ground for that. That is the Secret Service in service to Donald Trump's campaign. And I don't want my taxpayer money.
Well, wait a second. What if, just for the hell of the discussion, what if the so-called person who was not identified yet took out a gun and killed Trump? Would we be yelling and screaming? What do you mean, what? What do you mean, what?
He's a credentialed photographer in an area where there were protesters.
Well, he didn't show the credential.
He's wearing it around his neck.
He's got tons of gear all over. If you're worried about Donald Trump being killed, go deal with the protesters. They have the incentive to kill the guy.
He was trying to get
anybody
a picture of the protesters. The press were being pinned in away from the protesters, clearly an effort by the campaign to keep them
pinned like pigs?
Yes, exactly. To impede them from doing the work of the First Amendment, to doing the work, so, since you wanted to allude to us as being pigs, Alan, I want to remind you that there is a pen in like pigs, he says. Thank you very much. You know, just
I didn't say like the pigs you are.
Produce information like pigs. For your benefit so that you can have this stuff. And here this guy trying to do his job gets throttled by a Secret Service agent.
By the way, I saw the guy look up at him on the clip. And tell him something, which is when he laid off.
He's admitted that he's used profanity at him, and I don't condone that. I didn't condone it when Melissa Click, the University of Missouri professor, was yelling at police and at reporters. I mean, we have to be civil. You have to be polite. Even take the punch if you want to. On the other hand, this is the Secret Service, and he was not doing what he ought to have been.
And by the way, Rosemary, you're an associate professor tenured at the University at Albany.
Yes.
And there was a big story in the New York Times as we sit here today about the University at Albany. Rexy, could you set that up for
us? Why do we suddenly care about this story because it's in the New York Times?
Well, you make a very good point because it has certainly gotten a tremendous...
This story has been reported extensively
by your paper.
In the Times Union and elsewhere. And now, you know, this is about this incident involving three students who were on what was known as
the drunk bus.
The drunk bus. Who claimed that they were subject to racial epithets. And now they've been charged with filing a false report and with assault. And so the Times has caught up with this story. You know, the Times...
Coming late and behind.
Every now and then, the Times notices the rest of the state.
You better be careful. They are not going to call you and make you the editor-in-chief of the New York Times if you keep this up.
I guess they're not. They're not even going to give me that nice job being vacated by the former Buffalo News editor, who's been such wonderful public editor, actually. Margaret Sullivan is leaving the role of public editor at the Times.
Don't you have to leave after a year?
To become...
She got a nice job at the Post as a media reporter.
Which Post?
Washington.
You know, the other one. The good Post.
No,
but to get back to the Albany story.
Oh, beg your pardon. Yes, we were talking about upstate.
Upstate. No, this has been a disturbing incident for poor UAlbany. President Jones tried to react proactively and in a responsible way, unlike the president at Mizzou, for example, who was faced with racial problems. He cut short a vacation.
Are you shining him up
back.
Right now?
Only for a minute here, because he's made his mistakes. He's paying for them now. And so he comes back, and of course it became clear almost immediately that there was more to this than just a clear-cut hate crime. And there are now calls for him to apologize for his remarks, threats that people won't donate if he doesn't do that. And I think that he tried to be responsible. So the coverage of this whole story has been wonderfully illustrated for young journalism students who I know
at
the
learn?
University. Well, we learned that at the when you have an incident like this, you have to keep a completely open mind at the beginning. The students have a habit of saying, see, I was right. I knew it wasn't real. Well, no, you weren't right as a journalist. You have to think that maybe it could not be right. But you also have to think maybe those girls really were attacked. And that means you talk to everybody. You reserve all kinds of judgment. You're just measured. I think the Times Union actually did a great job. They were very measured in this. The day after it happened, there was a big rally on campus. And all kinds of the one of the women who was now charged but was at the time seen as a victim spoke. And there was a big reserve among the people there. Like, is this real? We don't really know what happened.
Really?
At the time, the Times Union covered that but did not put it on the front page, which you might have. It was on inside. It was measured. It's like, maybe we better wait a little bit and see what's going on.
That's why Rex is a great editor.
Yeah.
He is.
Yeah, thank you. You have to cover something where there are hundreds of people showing up for a rally, but you don't... but you need to keep exactly what Rosemary said. You need to keep your journalistic questioning.
Distance or kind of skepticism.
Skepticism is the word. Thank you.
When I say but, it means I want to register to say something because you guys never let me talk.
Because he never gets to speak.
God, he never speaks.
Okay.
Just cut him out all the time.
But you have to go to the individual motives of the people who put it out there fast, one of whom was your favorite, Rosemary, the presumed leader in the presidential sweepstakes, Hillary Clinton. And who we know is courting and should be the black vote in the United States. So immediately upon this accusation, she's out there, you know, basically taking the side of the three kids who now are accused of being liars.
Well, whoever runs her Twitter account, which clearly is not
Hillary Clinton. Somebody does it here under my name. guess who is going to pay the price?
No, I don't think Fine. She should pay a price. She did exactly what the president said. She saw an incident that was reported to the police. That's all you know at the time.
Oh, boy.
And called this unfortunate and disgraceful. And she's right. If it was as they said,
but it wasn't.
It was.
That's the point.
So a tweet is for a snapshot in a moment. You come back and say, oh, never mind, after it's over.
You are
and
such.
And that's what's happening. Really.
You are such a Hillary apologist, I can't even believe
it. Well, don't you think that it's better, though, to have a candidate who at least cares about this issue than to have candidates who, in the case of, for example, Donald Trump, he would say, I want to punch him in the nose.
Well, Trump has punched black protesters, and Muslim women have been manhandled in his he actually does hate
What
crime.
If you just simply said, if true, wouldn't that be a good
because
way
of... Because you have 140
doing...
characters. You don't have time.
Oh, I'm so sorry, in the interest of accuracy.
Right. A tweet is not the same as a news article, and most people who read Twitter know this. It's a shorthand. I don't think she did anything
wrong. I'm not buying, Rosemary.
Well,
you should be ashamed of yourself.
Twitter is not actually your generation, so I understand that,
yeah,
Alan.
Just
you
out
know,
of it.
It's
you're just outdated.
Okay, and all the people of my age, you can write to media@wamc.org. And that was Rosemary and Rex, who you just heard, putting down us old people.
Well, we were on the presidential race, and we need to deal with this amazing phenomenon that's happened in New Jersey. Six New Jersey newspapers together have published the same editorial on the front page calling on Chris Christie to resign because they say he has abandoned the state and then he went off and sucked up to Donald Trump and they're embarrassed. And what else did they say? This is
what are some of the newspapers? Was the Trentonian one of them?
No, these were the Gannett group of papers, including the Asbury Park Press and
I remember that one.
Several of the others that are in there. It is extraordinary. I mean, my company, Hearst, back when William Randolph Hearst was alive,
I just saw that.
Until the 1950s. you mentioned that, Rosebud. Don't give away the plot. Used to do this, and that was not unusual that newspaper companies would have an editorial across the chain. That doesn't happen anymore, but it is quite extraordinary.
Well, the old man used to write above the fold, right, every Sunday morning.
Actually, it was W.R. Jr.,
yeah,
his
I don't
son.
Mean the guy. I
right,
mean,
not,
yeah.
not William Randolph.
That old man, by the time the other guy did it, he was an old man.
He was indeed.
It's pretty interesting this year. There's been a series of bizarre but interesting editorials. Do you remember when the Boston Globe was calling on Elizabeth Warren to run? Like, we're recruiting a candidate now. And now this, a very big criticism of the governor, deserved in my view, but then I am a Democrat. And it's the editorial itself, editorials in this case, become news. I like it. I think it's shows the effort of newspapers to be more like social media, where you can put attitude and opinion out there.
Well, you know, the New York Times, which usually has, you know, sort of snotty editorials, they're intellectually hefty. They are really, really one shade left of really angry.
Balanced by the Wall Street Journal, Alan, which is equally
two make
hefty.
It right. Yeah.
No, I think they're a great balance. I love reading the two of them. Also, you know, well-written, incredibly well-written, very well-argued, and strong. So that's what an editorial should be. And short. Yeah, I hate namby-pamby editorials. It's like, on the one hand this, on the other hand that. No, tell me what you really think.
I try not to use the word short in this room.
Yeah, because when you use the word short, I know what you're trying to get at. Me.
I didn't bring it up.
No, you just
I
said
I thought our
it.
Theme was old today, right? keep focused here.
Right.
You really think that people don't understand when you say, I try not to use the word short in the room.
I don't
that
know.
You're it's a personal vindictive attack on me.
This is how naive I was as a child. I thought that the word ship was a bad word, so I only used the word boat. Because one of my friends had told me you can't say ship. And
It's a good point.
I wouldn't say ship.
If we said it here on the radio, somebody would definitely write in and say,
boat.
You used the bad word.
That's funny.
Anyway, but we try to be real around here. But one more thing. There was this ridiculous New York Times article claiming that Elizabeth Warren had endorsed Bernie Sanders. Turns out it wasn't real.
No.
It went all over the web, and it looked just like the New York Times. Mm-hmm. There is apparently
It had 50,000 views before it came down.
Amazing. There's this site called Clone Zone. Apparently, Clone Zone does fake articles. It looks so much like the real thing. You know, it's like when you get these PayPal notices saying, oh, your PayPal account is compromised. Give us your Social Security number and we'll... And you have to be careful what you see, folks. It may not be...
it must work for somebody. I keep thinking that, you know, because obviously they keep doing it. So some foolish person is giving them the Social Security number. Right?
It must. Well, we didn't get time to talk today about reporters in the locker room, about Melissa Harris Perry, this MSNBC commentator who lost her show. We'll get around to this stuff one of these days. Alan Shartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Rex Smith, thank you for joining us on The Media Project.
Advertising, get those readers, get that payoff. What a headache, what a mess. Oh, publishers are such interesting people. Let's give free cheers for freedom of the press.